Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. President Biden has held his first summit with South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, who took office just 11 days ago. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports that Biden heads to Japan tomorrow.
Biden and Yoon promised to consult on expanding joint military exercises to deter North Korea and discuss moving more U.S. military equipment, such as planes and ships, to the Korean Peninsula or nearby. Biden was asked whether the U.S. is willing to help North Korea with its first declared outbreak of COVID-19.
The answer is yes. We've offered vaccines, not only to North Korea, but to China as well. And we're prepared to do that immediately. We've got no response.
President Yoon said that while the U.S. and South Korea share the values of democracy and human rights, they have no intention to exclude countries that don't share them. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
The Russian Defense Ministry says its forces are in complete control of the vast steelworks in the port of Mariupol following the surrender of the Ukrainian soldiers defending it. Fighters from the Azov Regiment were holed up inside the plant for weeks while the city suffered constant bombardment. Their commander said all wounded troops have been taken away by Russian buses and ambulances. President Volodymyr Zelensky, heard here through an interpreter, said the soldiers had been given clear instructions.
Things are what they are. As of today, the boys received the signal from the military command that they are at complete liberty to get out and save their lives.
The latest turn comes after 3 months of sustained Russian attacks on the strategic Ukrainian port city. In Seoul today, President Biden signed into law a measure authorizing $40 billion worth of U.S. assistance to Ukraine. Russia has cut off natural gas supplies to Finland just days after the country decided to seek NATO membership. Terry Schultz reports this follows Finland's refusal to pay for its gas in rubles.
Finnish energy company Gasum says Russian gas deliveries stopped early this morning. Gasum anticipated the cutoff after it refused to start paying in rubles, as Moscow is now demanding from countries it deems unfriendly. Finland announced its intention to join NATO last week. Gasum says it's taking Russian gas giant Gazprom to court to try to force it to fulfill the contract with payments in euros, the European Union currency Finland uses. In the meantime, it says it will receive gas from other sources and customers will not face disruption in their service. While most of Finland's gas has come from Russia, gas provides just 6% of the country's overall energy supply. The government has already pledged to end even that level of reliance. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
The White House says the first flights of infant formula from Europe will arrive soon in Indiana aboard military aircraft, including Nestle Health Science Alfamino infant and junior formulas. This is NPR News in Washington. After years of false starts, an unmanned test flight of Boeing's astronaut capsule has arrived and docked successfully at the International Space Station. Will Zalatoris, a golfer who has yet to win on the PGA Tour, hopes to break through at a major. He has the lead heading into the third round of the PGA Championship in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Greg Eklund has more.
Will Zalatoris is only 25 years old, but registered a top 10 finish at last year's PGA Championship and at this year's Masters. He says he's all in when playing a golf major.
I just make sure that after, you know, really every single shot I hit, it's just, I don't want to say life or death, but, you know, make sure I'm fully committed to everything that I do because we only get four of them a year.
In the seven major championships held at Southern Hills, Zalatoris' score of 131 in the first two rounds is the best ever on the course. Tiger Woods, playing in his first competitive event since the Masters, made the cut, but he's not among the contenders for the lead. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund.
Billionaire developer Hossein Sajwani of Dubai is poised to buy the South Florida beachfront condominium that collapsed last June. The price tag is $120 million. The commercial real estate firm that was appointed to market the land as part of a class action lawsuit says no other buyers attempted to match the initial bid. Earlier this month, families of victims reached a $997 million settlement with those they hold responsible for the collapse. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.